This is your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, with the latest on the most exciting Sydney Autumn Carnival. Championships will have the best horses from around Australia, including the inaugural country and provincial championships. Stay in contact with the latest news, interviews, and best form analysts in town through Racing HQ with Andrew Bensley.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another week of Racing HQ. Looking forward to this week. Rose Hill again, the final day of the Golden Slipper Festival, and it's the BMW is the big group one this coming Saturday. We'll talk a lot about that race right through the week, and a lot about the Vinery for the three-year-old fillies, for fillies heading towards the Australian Turf Club Oaks in a couple of weeks' time. I want to get the latest on this New Zealand Oaks-winning filly, Savaria. Will she be coming or not? We're going to be talking to her trainer very shortly. We'll talk to Shannon Hope as well, because the Hope stable, Lee and Shannon Hope, are expected to have a couple of runners on Saturday, and I'll find out what's happening with Sabatini. A little while later, we'll talk to Henry Field. I want to get the update on Dissident. What race will Dissident be aimed at by Peter Moody? And a little while later, we'll look at the Group 1 William Reid at Moonee Valley in Melbourne on Friday night. Vane Queen worked there yesterday and is heading towards the race. We spoke with Rob Heathcote last week on our program about an injury suffered to Buffering. We can now confirm that Buffering won't be seen at all during the Brisbane winter campaign. The horse requires 3 months minimum in a spelling paddock, and as a rising eight-year-old, Rob Heathcote told me this morning, who knows, we could have seen the last of the horse. As a rising eight-year-old, it takes time for these horses to overcome injuries. He's basically wrenched a joint in that gallop last week on one of the inside grass tracks at Doomben, and he's basically injured a ligament below the fetlock area, and he needs 3 months minimum in a paddock to recover at this stage. He's angry at himself, Rob Heathcote, that he galloped the horse on an inferior track rather than the course proper, which he was knocked back on, and now the horse won't be seen at all during the Brisbane Winter Carnival. Lots of other racing news during the program. Let's talk about today's racing. Sarah Wills is joining us up at Scone. Morning to you, Sarah.
Good morning, Andrew.
How's your weather out there?
Look, we have an absolutely magnificent day today. Lovely clear skies.
Well, that's good, because in Sydney here, it's starting to get a bit overcast and a bit threatening. So you've got no sign of that at all.
No, it's a beautiful day. Not a cloud in the sky. And it's supposed to get to about 33, but we might have some showers later on. So we're hoping it'll be after the racing, which is sort of normally what happens this time of year.
Yep. What's the track rated this morning then?
The track is a good 4. The rail is out 5 metres the entire circuit.
Okay, so good 4, weather fine, and the rail at 5 metres today. Good luck to you, Sarah. Hope it's a beauty out there.
Thank you, Andrew.
Sarah Wills, the club secretary at Scone. These are the scratchings. Race 1, take out 3, Grand Idea. 7, Lily Lovenot, and 12, Tali Lane. 3, 7, and 12. Race 2 is cleared. The 3rd, number 9, Moons of Jupiter. 13, I'm Wally. 16, Sizzling Sue's, and 17, Truly Yours. 9, 13, 16, and 17. Race 4, number 1, Sky Mission, number 1. Race 5, number 1, Goss's Bluff. 2, Halfway to Heaven. 7, Casarissa. 11, Bronte Babe. And 12, Great Gal. 1, 2, 7, 11, and 12. Scone Race 6, take out 8, Pauline's Passion, number 8. Race 7, number 3, Hell No, number 3. And Race 8, take out 6, Back in the Game, 9, Yastar, 14, Roulette Bell, and 18, Budgie Boy, 6, 9, 14, and 18. So a good 4, but fine weather there at Scone today. Down in Victoria, they race at Benalla. Fine and a good 3, the penetrometer 5.21, and the rail at 3 metres. Race 1, take out the Emergency, number 12. Race 2, take out 1, Cheeky Chinchilla, and the Emergencies, 13 and 14. 1, 13 and 14. Race 3, number 10, Super Bonus, and the Emergencies, 13, 14 and 15. Race 4 is clear. Race 5 at Benalla, number 1, Momentary, number 1. Race 6, number 8, Milva, number 8. Benalla Race 7, number 2, Nausi, and 10, Jeune Baby Jeune, 2 and 10. And race 8, number 2, Holy Host, and 3, Like a Bought One, 2 and 3. Now, Jake Bayliss and Linda Meach not riding at the program. Replacements for those pair are pretty well through now. In race 1, the rider for number 4 is John Keating, and for 11 is Daniel Stackhouse, D Stackhouse, on the favourite at this stage. Race 2, the rider here for number 12 is Billy Egan. Race 3, the rider for number 4 is Corey Parrish, C Parrish. Race 4, number 7 is also Corey Parrish. In race 5, we're waiting for a replacement for number 3, still to come. Race 5, number 3. Then go to race 7. The rider for number 12, Medal Day, is Jason Collins, claiming 2. Jason Collins. And in race 8, the rider for number 10 is Jai McNeil. Jai McNeil, race 8, number 10. They're the replacements, repeating Jake Bayliss and Linda Meach not riding at today's program at Benalla. 13 past 9, Racing HQ. Well, could we see a New Zealand filly lining up in the Australian Turf Club Oaks in a couple of weeks' time? Joining us is Royden Bergeson, the trainer of Savaria, who brilliantly won the New Zealand Oaks a couple of Saturdays ago. Morning to you, Royden.
Good morning, Andrew.
Mate, I've got to ask you straight off, what are the percentages at this stage that we're going to see Savaria run at Randwick?
99.9.
Sounds pretty sure then.
Yeah.
How's she done? How's she done out of that New Zealand Oaks?
She's pulled up very well. Well, intentions while we're not in the field originally, we thought we'd probably turn her out after the Oaks and bring her back for the spring. But come through the race really well, and I said to the owners, oh, look, we'll just wait a week and see how she is, and if she comes through it all right, we'll pay the late nom and go to Sydney.
I guess you don't have to, while you're saying it's pretty definite that she's coming, you don't have to pay that late entry until the Monday before the Oaks?
Yeah, I think it's the Tuesday, 9 o'clock Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning before the Oaks. So you've still got time, you know, if you want to change it, but it sounds like she's just telling you that she's still on the up.
Yeah, she's only had 6 lifetime starts, and after her first start, she had a bit of a break, and she's come back, and she just thrived on racing, to be fair. She just got better and better every start.
I urge people to go back, if you haven't seen the New Zealand Oaks, and have a look at the win of Savaria. It was a 10 out of 10 by jockey Hayden Tinsley. He was very patient, and the run came to the inside.
Yeah, it was. Well, my instructions were just stay to the fence and try and get out the 600 and give us some clear air, but they weren't going to let him out of there, but he showed his patience. It was a cool ride.
Do you plan to bring Hayden over?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
Okay. So
he has a bit of trouble riding 56 kilos, and it's a long way to go with someone's half a kilo over.
Understand. So, you need everything to be going your way, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. I reckon you might get the odd call, particularly from jockey managers that may have seen that win.
Oh, I was thinking, yeah, if they have a look at her form, like her races, she's just, well, nearly every start, she's run home the last 200 metres faster than any other horse on the whole of the program. So, yeah, she's got a great turn of foot for a start. Like, not many three-year-old fillies will run home in 11 seconds after 2,400 metres like she did. And, you know, she probably won going away, to be fair.
Well, she did. I mean, she seems to... Hayden just put her in that position behind the leaders there, you know, somewhere midfield there, but she relaxed beautifully just watching her.
Yeah, she's just got a really good constitution. She doesn't worry about anything, no stress on her. She just goes to sleep, and you can put her anywhere you want. Every start she'd had before the Oaks, she'd always drawn the outside or one from the outside, so it was the first time she'd ever seen the running rail in her life, so it was good to get her 5 lengths up in the field than what she usually is. She always had to go back to last, you see. So, it was good.
So what's the plan between now and if it's definite that you do end up coming to Sydney when that decision's finally made? When does she come and what do you do between now and then?
She'll have a quiet gallop tomorrow morning just to stretch legs, and then Saturday she'll come over to the races for the day. Probably run home the last 1,000 or something, and get another gallop into the following Wednesday, then the Saturday, and then she's done all the work, and we'll just get her on the plane on Wednesday night and probably give her a trot round Wenrock on Thursday morning and let her can watch around on Friday morning. She should be right.
So you'll come over the Wednesday before the Oaks?
Yep.
Okay. Sounds like you've, you know, like she's, has she surprised you not being an original entry in the race?
No, not really. We thought about if she won the Oaks, give her a brief spell and take her up to Brisbane. But it's at Doomben now, and it's only 2,200 metres, and the bigger tracks are going to be ideal for her. So we thought, it was just an afterthought, Sydney, to be fair, but I think we should have a crack. You know, you don't often run for $1 million against your own age group, 2,400 metres, which you can handle. So, we thought we'd do it that way.
And tell us a little bit about the owners and yourself, Royden. I must admit, this is the first time I've chatted with you. You're a new name, obviously, to us. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you based?
I'm based in Awapuni. Been here for the last 17 years. I've always been in racing. You wouldn't think so. Look at me. I used to be a jockey a few years ago.
You've strengthened up a bit, have you?
Yeah, a couple of pies and a few beers.
I love the boy.
My father was a horse trainer and trained for a long time, and he took me into partnership when I was in my early 20s.
Yep.
And, originated from that, to be fair, and tried riding over fences. I didn't like that, but enjoyed the trainings, love it. You know, born to be it, so it's great. The owners, they're both in their 70s.
Yep.
They are farmers from Taranaki, it's around the coast here. They've raced a lot of horses, I think. There's nothing in the same class as here, but they've had a lot of winners. They had a couple of Group 3 winners, and old Dears, he doesn't mind a bet. He actually smashed the bookies here, so beware. He got a lot of money off the punt when he backed all the way through from the odds when they first nominations went in for the Oaks, and got her from 61 to $2, to be fair.
Jeez, he's had a go then. Well, I can tell you here at tab.com.au, while she's not nominated, they're very wary. They've got her at $11, Savaria, to win the Australian Turf Club Oaks. So, look, Royden, we'll stay in contact over the next week. Sounds like you're pretty definite at this stage. Let's hope we see her, because she was pretty special to win the New Zealand Oaks, as I say, last Saturday week. Thanks for your time, Royden. We'll stay in contact.
No, thanks. Thanks very much for the call.
Good on you. Mate. Bye-bye. Royden Burgesson, who trained Savaria, the New Zealand Oaks filly. Off that, you'd feel she's on the way. New jockey to come, though. Hayden Tinsley can't ride at the exact weight, so we'll wait and see who clamours on there. As I say, an $11 chance for the Oaks with tab.com.au. Thanks to Glenn Munsey for that information. Well, tackling most likely Savaria in the Oaks could be a couple for Lee and Shannon Hope. Morning to you, Shannon.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. You've arrived in Sydney after galloping a few of these in the Sydney edition back home in Victoria on Friday.
Yeah, we did on Friday and they headed up Saturday. I was very fortunate to get stables on course, and they've had their final gallop this morning at Rose Hill, and they seem to have pulled up really good and come through it well.
How's Fenway then? Obviously, the gallops on Friday would have been in the Sydney direction. So, and again this morning, how do they cope going in that direction?
Look, I'm very fortunate. At home, we work Sydney way every second day anyway, slow work.
Yep.
It's a little bit different fast work, obviously, but due to the curator and everything at Seymour, they've let us gallop a few times the reverse way. Nothing compared to this morning, because all the markers are set out and it's a different place. But they seem to handle it really well. They're on their Sydney legs. Fenway might have been a little bit on and off mid-race, you know, work. But other than that, really happy with the way they've pulled up.
Travel well and settled in?
Yeah, well, they're going to have plenty of time to settle in and that. But thanks to Goldeners, they travelled really good. They travelled up Saturday night, so they had a day of rest on Sunday, and just normal routine on Monday, and go up this morning. Now we just have to tick them over.
All right, so Fenway lines up in the Vinery?
Yes, she lines up in the Vinery. Yeah, look, it's Brallinger in the deep end, but I can only use set square as a yardstick, and I'm probably a little bit critical of some of the rides in Melbourne, as in just haven't had the luck when I've needed it. So I'm taking her as our yardstick, and she's going to be more than competitive up here. My probably biggest disadvantage, Andrew, is the fact that I'm on level weights and I haven't done what they've done, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's the thing that often just takes that, when you loom up, it just takes the edge off, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah, but by the same token, I still think I'm pretty good.
No. I think all of her runs. I mean, she ran third in the Wakeful. She's come back and she finished around set square. But I mean, Noble Protector was dominant to win the Matron, but your horse was close to set square in that race.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? And I was getting held up at the crucifying time, and I just hope everything. We have a bit of luck on our side on Saturday, and Blake can actually get her out and wind her up and. Let's see what she can actually do, you know.
Blake has decided to ride with a suspension, but he's decided to take the following week off with the family link there. Has he jumped aboard this morning or anything like that?
Yeah, Blake came up to this morning. He seems to be happy with her. He doesn't say a great deal. Yeah. Very conservative person, but I think he was happy enough. Well, he didn't say he wanted to get off her anyway.
Yep, no, understand. Madam Gangster, it's in another race. They're coming off really, well, it's won its last four, goes back to November, but it won really strongly first up at Flemington, the Francis Tressidy.
Yeah, it was a really good win. It was a great win on my father, my behalf. He's in first up 10 weeks, Group 3, you know, seemed to have come through it excellent. Wasn't a hell of a lot around. We're probably going to go to Adelaide. We just thought that it might have been just too long, just yep. to keep it ticking over, so that therefore we decided to see more from here. The Emancipation looked the ideal race, 1500, and seems to have handled this way of going. You know, the Triple Way is probably going to really bring her on again too.
Yeah, I understand. The one that's not there on the weekend, Sabatini, what's the story there?
Sabatini had a very hard run in the Cooney. Took a few days to get over it, I won't lie to you. Just up in the air whether I go straight to the Sangster or she's freshening up quite good. She might appear here in the Sapphire. Might.
Okay, so it really depends on what she shows you by the sounds of that.
Yeah, exactly. Generally, as in she's doing everything she can in Melbourne, so we've probably got to up the ante a little bit, but we'll just see. Whether she goes to the Sapphires, we'll go straight into the Sangster.
Okay. All right, well, her runs have been quite attractive, but as you say, that run there, the track was pretty firm that day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was. Look, pulled up fine physically. Was just a bit mentally a bit jaded, do you know what I mean? Like, she made a pretty long, sustained run.
Yeah.
Her sectionals were pretty good, you know. She ran a 10.84, a 10.89, and 11.16, you know. It's pretty hard to sustain that, you know.
Yeah, no, understand. All right, we'll wait and see what ends up happening with Sabatini. But sounds like Madam Gangster for the Emancipation and Fenway for the Vinery, they've done everything they can to this stage.
Yeah, we seem to be ticking the boxes on our way through, but barriers play a big part, and you also need luck on the day.
So. Yeah, no, understand. All right, mate, thanks for joining us. I hope it's a good week coming up in Sydney.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Shannon. Shannon Hope joining us there from the Lee and Shannon Hope base in Victoria, Fenway. She's a nice type heading towards maybe the Oaks. We'll wait and see what happens there. Well, one of the, as I said at the start of the show, Buffering is out of the Brisbane Winter Carnival with a wrench joint, has 3 months in the paddock minimum, and as a rising 8-year-old, we could have seen the last of him. What Rob Heathcote told me this morning, it just depends how he comes back from such an injury as a rising 8-year-old. Where we've got also news this morning, disappointing news out of Newcastle with Philip Atkins. Morning to you, Phil.
Morning, Andrew.
Yeah, disappointing here. Your 4-year-old horse in cahoots has gone amiss, eh?
Yes, Andrew. Yeah, tendon injury. He spelled after Melbourne in the spring and come back. I thought he looked better than ever. Probably back in 5 weeks. Half pace to the quickest he'd sort of worked. Just one afternoon, noticed the tendon up a bit and had it scanned and had a slight tear there, so he will be out for a good while.
Terrible luck, mate. I know it's probably not the first tendon you've had, but it's probably the first tendon when you've had a horse like him that shows so much ability going forward.
Yeah, that's right. He, he raced against some of the best horses around in the spring
yeah.
in Melbourne. even before he went to Melbourne. You know, he runs second to Terra Vista in the Show County. Well, last year at the championships, run third in the Royal Sovereign to Sidestep and Bounty. And before that, won the Gosford Guineas, beat Chautauqua and, Gerald Ryan's Dothraki.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll just have to wait 12 months and see if he can come back.
I don't know whether I want to talk more about the form. It's a bit more frustrating when you look at how good he was going, and now this is he's out for 12 months.
Yeah, that's right. Well, as I said, like, he runs second to Chautauqua.
Yeah.
Second to Terra Vista, runs third to Chautauqua and Temple of Boom. His first run in Melbourne. Joe Pride saw Target in sight, beat nose in the Testarossa.
Yeah.
Then run third to Deepfield, Dre Fontaine. No, that was after he won
at Caulfield. So it was really early stages of a prep, so it mustn't have been a hard gallop, Phil.
Oh, he hadn't galloped at all.
Yeah.
Half pace was the quickest he'd gone, but he's a pretty solid sort of horse. He does a fair bit of, more the slower work.
Yep.
And, it can happen. I've seen it happen before and heard of it happening before. Yeah. Just one of those things.
Mate, for the owners and yourself, you can hear it in your voice that it's obviously just terribly disappointing, to say the least, that we're not going to see him. I guess he was being aimed towards, you know, latter end Sydney and maybe into Brisbane.
Yeah, he was going to have a run or two in Sydney, and we were going to Queensland, but we'll just have to wait 12 months. Yeah.
All right, well, mate, terrible luck. Have you got another one half as good as him in cahoots?
Haven't seen it yet. No.
You got to get to these sales coming up, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, we've got a few young horses here, so they haven't been tried, so we've got at the sales last year and this year, so we're still a chance.
Cross the fingers for you, Phil. A lot of work's been put into the horse. Let's hope you can get him back in 12 months or so. Good luck with it, mate.
Right, thank you.
Good on you, Phil. Phil Atkins there at Newcastle. In cahoots, the four-year-old has gone amiss with a tendon and won't be seen for, as I say, over 12 months. Well, of course, the English famous sale is fast approaching, the Easter yearling sale, April 7, 8 and 9. We're going to be broadcasting Racing HQ from English's for those 3 mornings, and we're going to really start building it up. And the first of our guests is Henry Field, the Managing Director of Newgate Farm. Morning to you, Henry.
Andrew, how are you?
Very well indeed. Your catalogue, you've got a few going to the sale, and a few of the Fox Wedges and the Sava Beale Street Cries, and from some really nice brood mares.
Yeah, it's our biggest draft so far. We've got 20 in the sale, and obviously we've got the first crop of Fox Wedges. They've been very well received so far through the year, and he's got 33 yearlings in total in the sale, which is the most by any first season sale this year.
Yeah, they have been well. I mean, we can get on and say, you know, and say things, but they have been well received, haven't they, the Fox Wedges?
Yeah, do you know, they're very correct, clean-limbed horses that, well-built, straightforward animals, good temperaments, and a lot of trainers have bought them. They look like they'll be hard, tough-running horses. Who knows which of the first edge and sides is going to make the best stallion, but we'd be very confident that Fox Wedge will get a big shot because he's had a huge number of yearlings go into the top stables in the country.
Yeah, for sure. So the biggest draft you've had, and I think that tells us just the progression of Newgate in the last sort of 12 months to 2 years?
Yeah, we've built up quickly, and we've now got two farms in Hunter Valley and about 1,600 acres, so it is growing. And, we've worked hard. We've got a stallion roster we're very proud of and a broodmare that we're very proud of. And, you know, it's like any industry, it's always a changing landscape. And, you know, we've worked hard to get to where we are and build the market that we've built.
The preparation of these yearlings, can you take us through what sort of things are done from, I guess, early on in the foal's life, how you start preparing them? It must take an extraordinary amount of time to get them to the sale.
It takes a lot of time. The key is when you're trying to get yearlings ready for sale is, you know, we are like a like an institute of sport, perhaps. So we're trying to produce the healthiest, most athletic horses that can be the best raised horse. It's all good and well selling yearlings for good money, but the good breeders, the good studs, they work very hard to produce athletes. So, you know, from a young age, you're always monitoring their knees and their legs and making sure everything's growing in the right direction. Their nutrition is key. You're trying to build and develop great bone and muscle on your horses. And every month as it gets closer to the sale, the horses will get more attention and more attention to the point where, you know, we want to be able to sell yearlings that can get broken in next week and be, you know, in training within a month or, you know, 6 or 8 weeks of the sale. That gives the horses the best chance to get the races early, get up and running, which, you know, makes the whole deal work. It makes the value adds to the mare, value adds to the stallion. So we're, you know, the key focus for most of the top studs is trying to produce athletes. And, you know, there's a hell of a lot of work that goes into it, nutritionists, vets, farriers. You know, it's actually quite a complex process. And, you know, it pays off if you do things right and you don't cut corners because you produce good racehorses.
Is there this is a hard question, but is there a standout or two among the biggest draft at Newgate taking to the Easter sale?
Yeah, we've got some really beautiful horses in the draft. Apart from the Fox Wedges, there's a very, very nice Reduce Choice filly out of Florida here.
Yeah.
And a good, big, strong Bastnet Rock Colt out of Anna Bandana, who is the champion 2-year-old in New Zealand a couple of years ago.
Yeah, remember her for sure, yeah. So we're looking forward to some of those. Fleur de Her is lot 409 there during the sale. As I say, it's April 7, 8 and 9. And when do your yearlings hit Newmarket, Henry?
Yearlings will arrive next Tuesday at Newmarket, and they'll be parading from next Wednesday. I'm actually due to have my first child on early next week, so it's going to be a busy week. My human baby and all my equine babies all coming to Sydney at the one time.
I'm not going to say which one's more important, Henry. You'd be in all sorts if I ask you that and you give the wrong answer. No, well, good luck with that. I hope everything goes to plan with the baby. Just before I let you go, Dissident, what's the story? What's Peter Moody up to with Dissident?
Very keen to run the horse in the All Age. Obviously had a setback in the futurity after being so dominant winning the Group 1 CF4. But he's had a week to 10 days out, and you know, hopefully we can have him spot on for the All Age. And be great to finish his racing career a five-time Group 1 winner, and great to finish it off hopefully by winning the All Age Stakes.
And it's pretty well documented then that he'll be standing at Newgate later this year in the breeding season.
Yeah, correct. So likely his last run will be the All Age, you know, be lovely to. Such a good racehorse to finish his racing career off in the style he deserves.
Yeah, understand. So looking at the Doncaster market, he's a $15 chance. We can take him out of that with the All Age being the race that Peter's got in mind.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Righto. All right, Henry, we look forward to seeing you with the sale, mate. Good luck with it. I hope everything goes well with the baby at home next week as well.
Thanks. I'll make sure you bring your big hat to the sales.
Oh, well, I certainly will be. It'll be there, the hoss hat for sure. Good on you, mate.
Good on you, bro.
Henry Field there from Newgate Farm, and we'll be talking to many of the farms between now and April 7 when the sale does begin. Donna Logan is joining us. Morning to you, Donna.
Good morning, Andrew.
How you been? So well, I reckon
you've
been
very good.
I reckon you've been very good. Yeah, I saw you on Retro on Sunday with Volk Stock and Barrel. How's he come through?
Well, he's down 2 kilos on his race weight. He hasn't left tonight, and he's as happy as a pig in a muck.
Yeah. Geez, you cleaned that up.
Yeah.
You did clean that up. So what's the straight to the Derby, obviously, and just another test at that trip?
Yeah, definitely. But I think Craig Williams, you know, as he said before, the Rosehill Guineas, that he would ride him a whole lot different in the Derby as to how he rode him in the Guineas.
Yep, understand. How's Rising Romance? You mentioned after the race there on Sunday that the horses sort of may have been at that stage having a bit of a foot abscess or something, but it's more the heel, is it?
Yeah, look, it's just bruising on a heel, on the quarter of a heel. We've removed that pressure, just dug it a little bit, put a shoe back on and sitting it a bit different, taking the pressure right off that quarter, and she's a lot happier. I think it's like the ladies getting home from the races and taking their stilettos off. It's a great feeling.
Yes, no, I can understand. So is the expectation she could back up this week?
Yes, that's the plan, Andrew.
Okay. So she'll run there in the BMW, and that, I guess, tells us on many horses that are running in that race what you do re the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think probably, though, the most, you know, to me, the sensible path would probably be look at the Sydney Cup. She gets in so well in the handicap. Be nice test at 2 miles, and, you know, she's had the conditioning for it.
Yep, okay. All right, well, we'll wait and see. But the way that you're talking about the movement of that race plate is that she's a good chance of being there on Saturday. Who's going to ride her there?
Nothing's confirmed yet. We're going to wait and see what the field ends up make a decision then.
Righto. I guess James has got a few there or whatever. Anyway, we'll wait and
see. Oh, James is committed, so it won't be James.
It won't be James, okay. Looking at the field, yeah, okay, so he's there. We'll wait and see what happens with Rising Romance's jockey, but it sounds like she'll be there on the weekend. Well done last Saturday. Good luck with this week ahead, Donna.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Donna Logan there telling us that everything seems to be back on track with Rising Romance. Just before we take a break, some other racing notes. Set Square galloped this morning at Caulfield for Kieran Maher, the Victorian Oaks winning filly. Craig Williams rode her this morning in that workout and will ride her on Saturday with Hugh Bowman out suspended. So Craig Williams on Set Square. He's very happy with the progression since that run behind Noble Protector in the Matron, that race that I mentioned earlier in regard to Fenway. So Set Square floats up, runs on Saturday in the Vinery, and Craig Williams will take the ride. The acceptances have been taken for the Albury Cup. Ladari could end up being top weight. We'll get that field prior to 10 o'clock. This is Racing HQ.